We are joined now in the studio by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, who joins us here. How are you?
I'm good. Today is the Good Neighbor Initiative at Northside,
yes.
A block party and parade. I guess we walk around first. It's a lovely day for it, so looking forward to that. It's so exciting when you get a nice day for this.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A wonderful event, bringing people and community together. Love
and it really
things.
Depends on the weather for this, right? Like, usually
yeah.
You got like about 500 people show up,
yeah.
And then if it rains and it's cold, then a lot fewer of it
tonight. And a bounce house
isn't
really nice.
Yeah, right.
The rain, and there'll be some music and food and just a lot of community spirit. Love that kind of
That's
event.
Really good.
Yeah, we
cool.
used to organize our neighborhood block party for many, many years. 28 years, actually.
Wow.
And it was just fun to get people. You see old faces, new faces, people connecting to people, and that's what community is about.
Very
so
cool.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's coming up tonight. I got festival coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And two
yeah.
weeks and 2 days, I guess.
Oh, no,
give or take.
Sunday
yeah.
the 1st, right?
Can oh, you Sunday the 1st. Yeah, yeah.
Can you believe
2 weeks
it's,
and 3 days.
It's like we're halfway through September.
Hey,
on?
You know, it's 2017.
No,
the political
it?
Situation in Raleigh and Washington is the way it is. The fact that this year is flying by is fine by me.
I think they're keeping us so busy and distracted.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Good time.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun. Is that
and for several other reasons,
yeah,
I guess, as well.
Yeah. Well, we had a town council meeting last night. It was a public hearing, but we had a few resolutions and mm-hmm. things going on. It's Constitution Week this week to speak up the Constitution, and we had a resolution supporting the DACA Dreamers. Mm-hmm. Just feel it's really important to add our voice to all those out there and encouraging all of our representatives and senators and to pass some legislation to make this a reality for so many of our young folk. Yeah.
What can Chapel Hill do tangibly to help Dreamers locally?
To help them locally,
yeah.
Provide space and resources. We're partnering with the university, and of course, we always partner with our neighbors in Carver and Orange County and different groups like El Centro and some other ones that will help give people a place to go to ask the questions on how they figure out how to make this work. So we want to help provide resources for that. But I would say get our citizens to advocate to Senators Burr and Tillis to make sure that this goes through. We know that Congressman Price is all about doing this. And we've heard that Senator Tillis is. So I encourage people. And when people tell me, you know, that doesn't really, yes, it does. They count the numbers of emails and phone calls they get. So please, if you want to speak up, please. Well, actually, we want you to speak up. Do that. Phone calls and emails make a difference.
Yep.
They really do.
Especially when you've got a legislator that's on the fence. Like a
right.
lot of times you'll have a legislator who you know exactly what their position is on the issue. And it'll happen yeah. where 1,000 people will call against and one person will call in favor and they'll still vote in favor because that's their position. But when you got something like this yeah. where Republicans are definitely split. Even Donald Trump seems to be kind of mm-hmm. wavering mm-hmm. back and forth, which you never see him do on immigration. But on this issue, he is. And you got people like Tillis that are saying, no, we need to do something about this. Then the
yes.
calls actually
yes.
make a difference.
And it's important for North Carolina's economy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a lot of these young people here with all kinds of different paths that they came in. And we want them to continue to be good citizens here. They've been educated in our school systems. And like I said, if you've met any of these young people, they are part of our community.
Yep.
And they deserve a chance to achieve whatever level and path that they want to be on as well.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool. So, yeah. Speaking of students, went to a wonderful event yesterday at East Chapel Hill High School. It was the solar kickoff.
Oh, the solar
on
kickoff.
Tuesday,
yes.
Sorry,
yeah.
solar kickoff.
It was, the week's flying yeah, by,
I know,
right?
Yeah,
yeah,
it really is. But what was really, really cool is this was one of the 7 schools across the state to get this grant to put a solar array on top of East, and it was 4 students who drove this process. I'm so proud of them. We're looking for all kinds of ways to have more renewable energy in our community, and you're going to see a lot more coming out about that. But to have our young people leading the way is the way of the future, and I just think it's incredible. And we're learning all kinds of facts that we're trying to assemble so we can educate our community. But North Carolina is number 2 in the nation for numbers of solar arrays, right behind California. So it is huge here, and we have solar companies here. And Duke Power, I'm going to get those numbers for you so we can start telling that story, really believes in renewable energy and is adding it to their portfolio in big ways, in very big ways. So that's only good for our whole state as we make use of that renewable source.
And I like the idea of doing it at a school like East
yeah.
because it's an energy producer and it's also something that can be used in science classes.
Yes, they're going to put a weather station with it. They're
yeah,
going to monitor
nice.
It. They'll be studying it and learning lots. And at the council meeting last night, we had 3 different proposals come to us, and we asked about electric car charging stations
mm-hmm.
and putting conduit ability usage of to consider solar panels for rooftop at some point in time, to be able to make it so that it's easier to install that when it should come about. And I was going to say, one of the buildings that I happen to be familiar with just put their solar array, just went live on Saturday on top of the building. So we're going to see a lot more of this as prices for solar installations come down, as technology improves for increased storage and batteries. The batteries are smaller too, where you store them, the power. But you're going to see a lot more of this going on, and it's just a cleaner, reducing our carbon footprint, being cleaner, being environmentally sensitive, but being sustainable. I mean, if you can have this thing running and reducing or replacing your electric bill, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty
and cool. I think the more that towns like Chapel Hill can do to be ahead of the curve on electric cars, for instance, because people won't buy electric cars until the charging stations exist.
So we're putting
the charging stations have to go in.
We've got our map up. We're updating it. We're working with NC Green Power, and they've got the list of all the charging stations in our area. We're going to try to sync our map to their map. Some of the charging stations are Tesla specific, I found out, so that not everybody can use them. I know that you're laughing, but okay. But being
Elon Musk is so overrated. That's the most controversial thing I'm going to say all week. But good Lord, this guy. Every time I hear more about this guy. Anyway, go ahead.
Being able to have that available for citizens and visitors to understand, they can just go to our website, find out where there's a station, so you don't have to fret. And it was very interesting. The Duke Power employees that were energy employees that were there at the East kickoff were talking about, they all drive electric cars, and they're constantly having to think, oh, I'm down to this level, or I forgot to plug in last night, or my spouse was plugged in, so I didn't get to be able to figure out that there's a place in town you can go and make that happen.
That's good, yeah.
We have some new ones coming in that are public, both at the library and at the senior center and our town operations center. We want more places that everyone can access, but we also want as new developments to come in to be thinking about how to offer these charging stations.
Yep.
And very, very cool, got shown an e-bike today. One of our employees has an e-bike, and several other people in our community have electric bikes.
Awesome.
It is awesome because a lot of people tell me they can't ride bikes in Chapel Hill because of our really hilly terrain coming up the hill, but these bikes do that for you. So you can have the bike do the hard parts if you have bad knees, all that kind of stuff, but it takes that strain out of coming up.
Oh, I like that.
It's very cool. I got to see them in Burlington, Vermont as well. They were riding around on these e-bikes.
Oh, you need those in Burlington, Vermont. Good Lord, those hills are awful. I've been there.
So this is just so cool that there's going to be so many alternate forms of transportation. And on the e-bike, the electric bike, you just take the power source off and plug it in at home at night. You just unsnap it and plug it into your wall.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Where can you buy them?
I don't know yet. We're going to have information for you, but it was just fun. There's one of our, like I said, employees at Town Hall has one. And then I found out several citizens have them, and they're using them all around town.
Like it.
It's very cool. Yeah. Very cool. It's a lot of good things going on with that.
Very cool.
And a lot of promotion of trying to get these kind of awareness. And solar rooftop is really good for businesses, for homes, for all kinds of things. And we'll see how that works out.
Right. What speaking with Mayor Pam Heminger, what else happened at the meeting last night? There was a Wegmans discussion, I know.
Yeah, so that's part of a public hearing process.
Right.
It was the first, there'll be ample time. There's another public hearing on October 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Information was presented about the site plan, about traffic flows and traffic analysis. And you can see all that was presented out there. It is a special use permit process, so not supposed to be having conversations with everybody, but I'll tell people, point them to our website, look it over, review the meeting from last night, see the comments that were made from both the applicant and from citizens, and from council members. So that was on there. We also had a sorority house project. They don't currently have the sorority house. It's on Rosemary and Friendly Lane there, about redoing. So that one came forward. And then, not part of the public hearing, with Signature Health was part of the public hearing too. They're expanding their facility. So that was on there as well. Again, talking about charging stations.
Right.
And then the council did move ahead with approval of sale of off-premises alcoholic beverage sales. So you can now buy your beverages in the grocery store on Sunday morning starting at 10 o'clock.
That was part two of the brunch stall,
yes,
right, that the town kind of put off.
We were waiting for the Community Coalition on binge drinking. It's got this long name. Sorry about
the Community Alcohol Coalition.
Very good. The Community Alcohol Coalition. They were gone for the summer. We wanted a chance for them to come back and comment. And what they said said, because I attended their meeting, they said that they didn't have any definitive evidence that the hours of sale between 10 and 12 were going to be make any kind of huge dramatic difference. They have hours of sale in evening hours, but not those times, so they were not going to protest. But we had a lot of stores concerned that they wanted to be able to sell.
I would imagine that. Like, there, I can just sort of sit down and brainstorm, like, the certain times during the week that you would be concerned about alcohol sales, but 10 a.m. on Sunday, probably not so much.
So we are all in for the sales for the brunch bill. So that's that's been passed. Saturday at the Bluegrass Festival at Historic Moorfield, we had over 600 people
in
attendance.
Perfect weather for that, right?
It was a beautiful, beautiful day. The music was fab. But what we loved about it, it was there were a lot of families. A lot of families from Chapel Hill and Carrboro came because a couple of the bands were from this area, too. And it was just a beautiful way to spend the day. And it was just a really happy event. It's a great way to spend a weekend. So that was going on. Next week, we have a work session on Monday. I know we're switching around on here, but on Monday, and we're going to be talking about the future land use plan process, or the LUMO, and about drones. So other communities are wrestling with the ideas of what we can do to make sure drones are safe in your community. There have been instances of drones crashing into cars, buildings. People are concerned about their privacy. But drone deliveries are here soon. So we want to make sure that we're thinking proactively and having, so this is just an information and discussion item at this point in time. I think there's over 20,000 drones registered, or is it more than that in this area? Yeah, it's huge.
Just in this area?
Yeah, it's pretty huge. you have to register
drones.
I got to
get on that. I didn't realize I was so far behind the curve.
You have to register your drones. They're larger than a certain size with the FAA, and then local communities are trying to discern whether they're allowing drones to take off on town or public spaces, and what that means, whether they were requiring drones to follow roadways, so all that kind of information. And this is something the U.S. Conference of Mayors has been struggling with, too, is and larger cities, and as more and more drones are out there, and larger drones are out there that have all kinds of capabilities. And again, we want to be proactive and be thinking about it versus reacting to it. So
it's going to be one of the big concerns about being like a government official on any level is you've got to be reacting to the next thing before it becomes a thing, right?
And
so
you'd
you've got to be anticipating.
Well, but you want to do it with real information, too.
Yes.
You don't want to do
it
out of just, you know, what you heard on the news.
On the news or on social media or whatever.
So
you
want, so we've had our technology crews looking into all the information. Same thing with the Conference of Mayors. Everyone's sharing information about best practices, things people have tried, things people are thinking about, and then the fear factor and how to educate the public about these things. So, so we're not talking about the little tiny drones that kids play with.
Yeah, these are like
talking about
big professional drones.
And then we are keeping our eye on the autonomous vehicles. I don't know if you saw, there's some more of the legislation just is coming through about not about having the federal government will regulate the safety standards, not individual states. They are trying to push forward with autonomous vehicles, and we want to be prepared and ready to think about how that, I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of changes when there's going to be that interaction of autonomous vehicles with regular drivers. And I don't know, I was watching the story in Michigan, there's a pizza delivery car now that there's no driver. They're saying you don't have to tip the driver. The car pulls up to you and honks the horn.
I'm glad that's everyone's first thought with that. Like, oh, thank God we don't have to tip human beings anymore.
Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting. And I keep saying, you know, a third of the male population in our country is employed in some kind of transportation job.
Yes.
So this is going to shift that as well.
Yeah.
So these are the kinds of things you need to be thinking about when you're planning your future for your community.
Yep.
So that's going on. There's also a Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is transit folks. There's going to be a public meeting on future transportation plans for the 2045 plan.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm not sure I'll be sitting
it's
here
just
doing that.
Around the corner. I mean, we were talking with Victor earlier today, and he was talking about the Carolina Jazz Orchestra, Triangle Jazz Ensemble, or something like that, has been around since 1990. Oh man, it's a tradition here in Chapel Hill. It's like 1990 was only like a few years ago, right? Like it's an entire generation at this point.
It is. It really
1990
is.
1990 is as far away from us as 2045 is. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, right. Well, so this meeting's next Tuesday, September 19th, from 4 to 6:30. It's going to be at the Carrboro Town Hall because it's a joint meeting from between Chapel Hill and Carrboro residents, and they're looking for public input on various alternatives for state investments through 2045.
Okay.
So we wrestle with this too. What projects, what things do we need to be fixing now versus what does the future look like, and how does that work? And we're looking for all kinds of input.
All right.
And lastly, it is campaign season, and yes, there's a lot of forums. We've had a couple of forums already.
You've been to 36 so far, right?
I've been to three forums, looking towards a few more
We've
coming
got ours
up.
We've got ours coming up in about a month, yep.
And so far, I think four questionnaires so far.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll continue, but if you're looking to see who's running and knowing more about them, there's many ways for you to find that out. Forums are posted. Different organizations will be posting the surveys they put out there. Some just use them to make their decision on if mm-hmm. they're endorsing or not. So it is campaign season.
Orange Politics has a really good list on their blog, orangepolitics.com or .org. I think either takes it to the same page. But they've got a good, just sort of comprehensive list of all of these forums that are happening. So that's a good go-to. We're getting the word out about all of them as much as we can here on the air. But yeah, there's always a lot,
I feel like I always have homework assignments now.
Yeah, right? And I was talking with Mayor Lavelle, she's filling out all the same questionnaires, and they're getting, you know, they're long and you want to do it right. So all of the answers are long as well.
You want to be thoughtful and concise. Yeah. People don't want to read a dissertation.
Yep.
And that makes it a little harder when you're trying to take a very complicated topic and boil it down into something that everyone who's not as familiar with the project could understand, but and try to do it in a very intelligent, succinct way. So that it becomes like, woo. So the ones that you dial in and log in and they're down to a certain number of characters, you really have to work on. You can't just start typing and say, oh, but I'm done.
Nope,
I'm done. Next question.
Yeah. Halfway through a sentence. Nope, you're out of space. So what are some of the big issues that people are talking about at the forums this year?
People are concerned about growth.
Right.
And what growth means to our community with traffic and taxes and jobs and quality of life. So those have been the ones so far. How does it affect? And what are we doing? People are intrigued about innovation and spin-off companies and startups that we have going here, and they're liking what they're hearing about with the ways we're trying to keep that energy here. So that's been interesting. People are concerned about downtown and the vibrancy and what we're doing and things going on with that as mm-hmm. well. Those have been the big topics. A lot of the Sierra Club was due tomorrow. So that's why I'm working on the environmental pieces. And I said I got very excited about some opportunities. We have stormwater, huge issue. I should have put that one at the top. People are concerned, I think, between Hurricane Harvey and Irma, mm-hmm. people are very concerned about how we would be prepared for this continual onslaught of water coming in intense patterns, as we're seeing more with climate change, which, whether you believe it's real or not, we're getting these intense weather patterns and what we're doing. And we are moving ahead just to give people, we do prep for Irma. We were ready. We had pulled our teams together. We were ready to deal with whatever was coming. Luckily, it spared our area. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it hit some others pretty hard. But we do things like get the creeks and the cleaned out and debris out of the gutters and things so things can flow a little better. And we try to warn people in the low-lying areas. But we also, you know, we had a watershed study for the Booker Creek area, and we have been cleaning up and putting in some of the fixes that we were spending the bond monies to do certain projects, and we have made progress in that. So as we make more progress on that, hopefully reducing stormwater flooding in our area.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Yeah, great. Thank you.